You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
My name is Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form
Experience Grind Podcast.
You know, we're not the only podcast with two white dudes talking about stupid bullshit that doesn't matter. But we might be the worst.
Oh, we are. We are the worst.
We're definitely nosediving to the bottom, for sure.
Yeah.
And
what today, better game to talk about when nosediving
to the bottom? We're going to get really, not critical, current. Let's say current.
Ooh. Okay.
Maybe a bit critical, I feel.
Okay. We'll go with this.
But we're going to talk about, in case you can't read and didn't know before you downloaded or started streaming this episode, Final Fantasy 15. And the newest in the long-running franchise. I think it's been 30 years this franchise has been putting out games.
This year is the 30th anniversary, yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that.
And the most recent Final Fantasy.
A lot of other things just Final Fantasy related, which I think somewhat happened when we talked about 7 a bit. So
that 7 kind of took up the whole conversation. It was largely focused on 7. This one, I think, can be a little bit more loose because... I don't know if there's as much depth to this one as 7. I don't know if there's as much complexity we really need to talk about.
Okay.
But we'll see. We'll see.
I'll give you one half of that statement and agree with it.
Okay.
And we'll find out along the way. Neither of those was a stage whisper. Don't take acting lessons from me. Call back to an earlier episode. Ryan, before we get into it, though, you had broached the question to me. Of what is my least favorite Final Fantasy character? And this is all spanning, but I will go ahead and exclude both of the MMO versions because
there's not really characters.
It's so bland. You don't care anyway. You're just trying to get leveled up.
Okay.
I think easily without a question.
Look at this enthusiasm. Kyle's loving talking about Final Fantasy in a bad way.
Oh, my least favorite character. Well, they're terrible. And this is crazy. Like 3 of my least favorites are honestly in your New Year's resolution game that we're both going to attempt to play through.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay.
But easily my number one is also from Final Fantasy IX.
It's Vivi.
And no, it's not Vivi. I like Vivi a lot. Vivi's actually a pretty well developed character all around. I think it's Queenwa or Queenoa or something of that nature. But
I always said Queena.
Yeah, Queena. The big fat white frog.
She's your favorite?
No, she's my least favorite. Question was least favorite character.
I know, but you said your one favorite was from Final Fantasy IX. I was trying to figure out that one first.
No, my least favorite. That's why I was meaning. So my Queena. Least favorite. But 2 of my also least favorite characters are also from 9, so 3 of the all-time.
So we got Queena. It's probably your most favorite. What are the other 2 bad ones from 9?
Least favorite is Queena. But you keep saying most favorite.
But
least favorite.
Least favorite. What are the other 2, Kyle? God damn it. You know what I mean.
I do, but I want references, damn it. I think his name is also Salamander, I think, or something of that nature. He's the big burly dude.
Steiner?
No, Steiner is okay, but he's not the worst.
Other guy.
You probably didn't make it to. He's like the big burly dude with red dreadlocks. And then,
seeing his picture in like player guides or something.
So, again, you and I are very unfamiliar with 9. That's why we're both going to play through it for a later date.
Interesting.
And then also, there's the girl that is the summoner in the game, and she has like cat ears.
Garrett?
I don't think that's her name.
What's the main chick that Zidane is into?
Her name, in the game, she goes by Dagger, but she's also Princess... Dagger. Something. I can't remember.
Okay, yeah. So you're talking about Freja?
No, Freya is also cool. She's actually a dragoon.
Who's this
she's
chick
also
with
red.
Long cat ears?
Yeah.
I don't remember her
at
all.
She's like a young girl, and she has like a giant robe. You meet her around the same time that you meet the Salamander character, the big buff dude.
Interesting. Okay.
But yeah, all three of them are just kind of meh characters. So that easily. Fair. A lot of them from Nine. If I don't want to hate on Nine too much, I am also not a fan of Selphie from Final Fantasy VIII.
Okay. Yep.
The chick with the bangs and uses the nuncha.
Yellow dress, right?
Yeah,
I remember her.
Like a yellowish skirt dress. Yeah, she's also highly ranks up there. But those are mine. I'm a big Final Fantasy fanboy, as we will find out on this episode.
Yeah.
A lot of my love stems from the PlayStation era onward.
Sure.
I was not an SNES guy. Like, I didn't get an SNES till later on, like you. I was a Genesis kid growing up. So by the time I really got into Final Fantasy, I converted with 7, and I will fully admit that's why 7's probably my favorite, too.
I think most often 4 and 6 come up are the favorites. Mm-hmm.
Yep,
from the pre-PS era.
Maybe I think it's actually 3 and 6, which is called 2 here. Maybe I don't know.
I can't remember. I know the one is with
Kane,
Cecil, the knight, and you have that opera scene, and then
you're right. That is 4.
And then there's Terra,
which is called 3 here.
I think Terra is on the 6th one, which is not the 6th one in Japan. Oh, no, it's all very convoluted, like many of the Final Fantasy constructs.
Get really weird.
Yeah.
And just very confusing.
Yeah. Good choices, I guess. I've not played 9, so I can't really comment on those so far. But I will give them at least they're interesting in their designs, maybe, and they're campy or silly.
Sure, except for the white frog. Just all the things about her are terrible. But she's also the blue magic user.
Mm.
She's dressed like a chef, and she gains the enemy skills by eating.
Oh, Queena, yeah.
The enemies, but that's me. I think he's doing the Conan dance.
He is doing the Conan. Our sound engineer has tuned out. And is doing the Conan dance.
He didn't bring
himself
a microphone to this episode, which is a little sad, but
yeah, way to go. Dropped the ball there. Your insight would have been very handy on Final Fantasy. So, least favorite characters.
Yeah, Ryan, same question to you.
I really hate Vanille with a passion from Final Fantasy 13.
Okay.
Just everything about her character. I think she's the typical Asian whiny girl character. The kawaii, I'm so cute, look at me. The voice is impossibly high.
I really liked how you said kawaii.
Kawaii.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Right?
I totally agree with you, too.
Just super obnoxious. And, I like her sister, Fang, much more than her.
Were they sisters? I thought they were just friends.
No, they were sisters, bro. You played Final Fantasy 13 so much, you should know
more
better
than anybody that I know, and I don't
remember. I shouldn't remember anything about that game. It's so forgettable.
Thanks for setting me straight, dog.
That one's... I think that's bad. I also... I'll go ahead and say it. I think almost all of the characters from Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, how dare you.
Rank as some of the least interesting characters. Barely any motivation there. And any motivation they do have is just lifted from other games.
My heart hurts, dog.
I know, I'm sorry. But, really, these characters are just archetypes that have been in other Final Fantasy
games.
They're
absolutely,
totally
give you their
stripped down to just,
archetypes.
Bland Japanese bro with, bro clothing, and that's it. There's nothing interesting about them. There's nothing in their backstory. There's nothing about their makeup. There's nothing about the way they look. Just nothing interesting. They are just
really the only one
the
of these
that
does
the
have backstory is Noctis.
Yeah, and that's effective, I guess, sometimes, and then other times it's rushed over. But we'll get more into that later.
15,
I'd say it's
irregarded.
The most disappointing cast of Final Fantasy characters in general.
Damn,
yeah,
man.
And again, I've not played 9, but I imagine Vivi's there, Zidane's there, Dagger's there, Steiner. I imagine I'll find bright spots. I did not see a bright spot in this cast. I thought some of the villains got close to interesting.
I was the complete opposite.
But not the
heroes. Again, we'll get into this a little bit later. But 15 totally excluded.
Women. There's no women in the cast.
No, but I'm saying excluded from your least favorites.
Oh, then I go with Vanille. She's the worst.
Okay.
She's Vanille. The most annoying. I there's no redeeming character arc to her. Nothing.
She saves the world.
With other people.
With her sister, bro. They entwine in a crystal embrace for all eternity.
It doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything. What if Jar Jar, Banks sacrificed himself at the end of Phantom Menace to save the universe? Would you like Jar Jar anymore?
Maybe a bit.
No, you would not. That's horseshit. He'd still just be as annoying.
Only because he's
except
dead.
Except people be like, why the fuck did they give him that heroic moment? Like I was doing during Final Fantasy 13. Why does this annoying twee bitch get like any say in this ending? She just...
Did you play 12 at all?
Yeah, I love 12.
Did you beat it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
12 is the one on the Sony generation I've never played.
I'd argue it's my favorite.
I hear that a lot. And so I have the Zodiac Age pre-ordered.
Mm-hmm. I think you'll dig it now, too, because I think it takes a lot of things from the modern generation. It just did it before people wanted that.
So it was a little ahead of its time?
I think so. Okay. It feels like an... You know, it feels as open world and as... big in its scale as Final Fantasy 15 does with its big MMO-ness. Final Fantasy 12 did that. It's also
set in the universe of Ivalice, which I really enjoy that universe.
It's not my favorite.
It's not my favorite, no. But what I like about Ivalice is that it's one of the few that they actively revisit.
Yeah, they do.
Which is cool because it gives it a history and a depth to it. Which I like. So
I wonder why they don't do that with other ones. Like I'd be into a Final Fantasy VII game that was in that universe because I like that kind of style and aesthetic.
Yeah.
But like, just don't tie it into the other characters. Just have a game be like that.
I was about to drop Dirge of Cerberus.
Oh no, I know all about that. Just don't do anything with those characters.
Just
don't give me a shitty third person shooter game that you don't really quite know how to develop, and then just put Vincent in it.
Crisis Core on you.
I never played Crisis Core. I have no interest in it.
Of course I played it.
I know.
And I like it.
Yeah.
I actually don't like Dirge of Cerberus very much, though.
Yeah, it's a bad game.
It's really not good.
They strayed too far from their formula and didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah. If they'd have given it to somebody else to develop, it could have been cool. But I think because they developed it in-house.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So this is the perfect time to do a Dirge of Cerberus game and give it to Platinum.
Sure, yeah.
Make Platinum develop the gameplay and everything, but you use the Final Fantasy VII lore and characters.
Absolutely,
good
bro.
Game. You got a good game. That's what they should be doing. Final Fantasy XV, that's what you should do. Just let somebody else develop it, but keep like the artistic flourishes. Let somebody else develop it.
Okay.
We'll see. Sorry. I keep getting into it.
Man, you're
I keep getting into it.
I don't even know if I want to get into it now. I didn't know you were going to be so hateful.
Not hateful, but... That said, this game, when it came out, was getting much fucking praise and hype.
And I think really what it is that you are...
People were surprised that they weren't disappointed.
I think you might be amping it up a bit to contrast my overzealousness, which is fine.
It was your game of the year.
Yeah, it was. And I still admit that for 2016.
Okay. I've got issues.
Yeah.
I've got issues.
What was your game of the year?
I can't remember right now. What was it? Oh, Uncharted 4?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I stand by that.
I know you do. I don't.
I'm sorry. If you want a mature narrative that's not handled by 13-year-old Japanese kids, then you go to Uncharted. Or you can have Final Fantasy 15, which is the most incoherent fucking story, like this side of a DC Universe movie.
Dog, you've played Kingdom Hearts.
No, it's worse than Kingdom Hearts.
Holy shit. It's worse.
This game is missing fucking segments. It's so weird and jarring what is missing from this game's
narrative. I know what you're getting to.
And it's just so streamlined so that you do have like the basic like, he's a prince. He needs to save the princess. The princess dies. They're bad guys. We gotta stop them. That is the fucking art of the story. There's nothing more there. There's no thematic depth. There's no weight. There's no anything. You look at Final Fantasy VII and all the religious stuff you can take into it. Like, all that history, the backstory, the themes of isolation. Like, it's all there. There is nothing in Final Fantasy XV. It is a devoid narrative that is bare bones at best and at worst off-putting and kind of trite in this day and age. It's been done better by other people. Final Fantasy is not the powerhouse it used to be.
Okay. So we're going to argue and go at each other's throat for this entire episode, and that's cool. I'm ready to take these gloves off, and we're going to throw down. But before we do, we're going to have a bumper.
Yeah.
And again, our bumper is going to be sponsored for the second time, I think, in our history. Because I've got some qualms with you at this point in time, I'm going to go ahead and pick the bumper music.
Oh, okay, that's fine. I don't care.
Which is going to be from Final Fantasy 15. Surprise, surprise.
Mean where all the best music are the soundtracks from the other games?
Not all of them.
It is.
But
the,
it is
the battle.
Really
cool. The battle theme is pretty awesome.
The battle theme. I also like that song Braver. That's pretty. It's a pretty good song.
There's some good stuff.
And that's actually the one I'm going to pick now. Is the song Braver from the Final Fantasy 15 soundtrack. I don't think it actually plays into the main game. I think it is just a song created for the cruising.
Yeah.
But it's pretty fucking kick-ass. So this bump is brought to you by our good friends at In Case of Emergency Press. In Case of Emergency Press is a Bloomington, Indiana print shop founded in 2009. And they provide screen-printed goods for bands, record labels, businesses, artists, organizations, and many more. With a focus on custom projects and quick turnaround time at a fair and affordable price. From custom t-shirts, hoodies, tank tops, and other printed apparel, to vinyl record jackets, tote bags, koozies, and so much fucking more, they are capable of screen printing your design onto nearly anything, including your butt cheeks, should you so desire. They'll charge you, but they'll do it. I'm telling you.
They're very discreet.
Yeah. They can also perform design work. If you have the idea in your head, but you just really can't transfer it into like a physical form and you can't draw and you're just retarded with your hands. But they are able to help you every step of the way. It's great. We're going off.
I like that this is worth into the paid sponsorship.
Yeah. Yeah, they're paying for this.
You should feel so bad.
Just go to www.incaseofemergencypress.com and get your project started today. Don't wait until it's an actual emergency and tell them Experience Grind sent you. They won't give you anything else, but they'll be like, hey man, two people came here. Thanks.
Experience Grind said if you had retarded hands to come here, I've got retarded hands.
I gotta watch dropping the R-tard. It's bad.
I think R-tard is just as bad as retard.
You think? Well, I didn't put the E in there. I thought somebody would give me a break.
You left out the E?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, bro. Gosh. Okay. That makes it all better. You just drop off the E and it makes it fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So here's the song Braver from the soundtrack to Final Fantasy 15. Thank you in case of emergency press. Back.
Okay.
And we're going to go at each other's throats, and I don't want to.
I don't want to either.
I like you, Ryan. Let's talk maturely and openly.
I'll try.
About our experiences with Final Fantasy 15.
Yes. Anecdotes, if you
anecdotes,
will.
Anecdotes, sure.
Anecdotes, if you will.
I mean, I don't get what Snake Boy... Snake Boy? I don't get what Snake Bite... serums have to do with this, but sure, we'll talk about anecdotes. Speaking of snake bites,
it's a deep cut for all you who are listening.
You get
from shit we didn't record. it's real fun for you guys.
All right, man. Final Fantasy 15. So you obviously have some issues with it.
I have issues.
I obviously approach this from a rose-colored glasses fanboy. I totally do not disagree with that.
Yeah.
So I want to...
I will say real quick, though, I did too.
Okay.
I got really excited for this and felt the Final Fantasy feeling coming back. Like, I was into it.
The Final Fantasy feeling is very thick for like the first 10 hours.
I'd say that's right. Yeah.
And then it becomes its own thing, which is diluted and gets a bit confusing. And it itself doesn't for sure know what it's trying to achieve. And then it realizes, oh my God, we're 50 hours deep. We need to wrap this up. And then it wraps up.
Yeah. Oh,
is that the basis of your negativity towards it?
I mean, it's part of it. Yeah. That's definitely part of it. I think it's a game. Because
those parts I totally get and I agree with you.
Yeah, yeah. It's a game that feels like it was developed over 13 years or however long it took. It feels like it was three or four different games at one point.
Well, and
there are remnants of each of those games in this game. And they tried to smooth it over.
It was like three or four different games.
Yeah.
Originally, this was a side story in the Final Fantasy 13 universe.
13 Versus, right?
Yes, this was Final Fantasy Versus 13. Mm-hmm. It had
originally for the PlayStation 3.
Even back then, when I saw those pictures, I was like, "This is not a Final Fantasy. Yeah. This is not a PlayStation 3 game. There's no way."
It looked like it was PlayStation 2 or like way ahead of it.
Just like The Last Guardian, I was like, "Dude, there's no way this is coming out on PlayStation 3. There's just no way." Or they're full of so many bullshots that, like,
I feel like Last Guardian could have came out on PlayStation 3. And looking at it now as it's released, like, it's a very pretty game, but I don't think it's really technically involved, like, minus the feathers on Trico.
For sure. On that note, none of the other ones were very technically involved, but still, they make nice looking games, but man, they do not like make nice performing games.
No, I agree with that.
It's kind of the same issue with From Software. They cannot seem to make a game that's even steady at 30 frames a second.
I'd have to go back to the Itogi games, but I thought those were pretty solid back then.
Man, that's a nice deep cut.
I love the Itogi games.
Let's talk about Itogi for real in the future.
Yeah. Itogi 1 or 2.
God damn it, yes. Okay. Yeah. Total. Sorry, everybody listening, but we just nerded out on Itogi, Myth of the Demons, for just a bit.
This guy would say it's From Software's best.
I
like it better than Dark Souls.
I would have to replay it because it's been so long, and I'm so into Dark and Demon Souls. I do remember liking Itogi a whole fucking lot, though. But let's continue here for a bit.
Final Fantasy.
Yes.
Back to Final Fantasy.
Let's focus on this for a bit. Let's get this episode going, man.
Yeah, so it feels like a game that was worked on for so many years. And like I said, you can see it in like different game types kind of not really meshing together super well. There are some jarring transitions. The story I feel is piecemeal at best. Like, it is really just slapdash together. It is, you know, and I think maybe that's because the side quests are not very involved. So you have like a story mission and then you have to do like 6 to 10 hours of other shit, which is just like fetch quests or basic, like, here's a monster there, go kill it. And like, there's nothing ever really anything more than that. And then the next story bit comes and it's so few and far between in this desert of gameplay. It's the Ubisoft chore shit. It's not good, meaningful side quests. Like, how many times do I have to get oil for this fucking car? Like, it's just, it's filler. And it feels like a lot of this is filler. And I think even there's some filler in the story. And I think largely the big beats of the game kind of rely on old Final Fantasy tropes.
Okay. Let's delve into that a little bit. Break that down a little bit further for me. Let's talk about this.
And so I'm not as fresh on this game. Like, I finished this 3 months ago, so it's not like the quickest. And I didn't take notes, which I probably should have.
It's okay. Respect.
But the big one is when Lunafreya dies.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, well, yeah, we spoil everything and all these, so you
I know.
Lunafreya dies, and it is almost verbatim how Aeris dies. Like, it's very, very similar and very reminiscent, and it's that easy plot twist to make you feel sympathy towards this character, but the way the game is edited is so bad and just abrupt that, like, as soon as she dies, then you cut to black, and then it says like something like 10 weeks later, and then you're on a train with two or three of your other guys. It might be two. I don't remember if Prompto fell off the train or not.
Not
I
yet.
Don't know.
All three of them are there.
That's fucking whole stupid too. But you're sitting there and you're upset because the woman you were going to marry just died in the very previous scene. And then Gladiolus is telling you, like, don't be a baby about it. She died so long ago. It's not your fault. Get over it. And it's so weird to have this big fucking emotional moment quickly sold out to, like, get over it, push past this. Like, if this is a big moment, let it breathe. Let us have this time to, like, feel. Why do we cut to 10 weeks later? It is like in the Fantastic Four movie when this big accident happens and they get their fucking powers, that it just says, like, a year later, and then they're fucking fully up on their powers, and it's just like, there's shit you're skipping. And this happened more than once in this game. Like, and just narrative inconsistencies too. Like this assassin woman, I don't know her name, but she's got like the big suit of armor with like the big old dick helmet. Like it's a very, very phallic big point off her helmet.
Her last name is Highwind.
Yeah, that's right. And she tries to kill you guys, but she has her helmet on. And then the next time you see her, she has her helmet off, and everybody's fooled or doesn't acknowledge that she tried to kill them. It never fucking comes up. So it just seems like either lazy and they're using the same character model, which I don't think it is.
No.
But it's just weird that like there's no reference to anything that happens. And I feel like what you're going to say is like, well, it's explained in the anime or in the movie.
Nope, not at all.
Okay,
not at all.
Because that's a whole nother horseshit thing this game
is. So, you said a lot.
All right.
Now
let me
pump the brakes here. Let's
literally
discuss
could
a little
be
bit.
50 minutes of me just ranting about this game.
I know. And
because I wanted to love it. That's the thing.
And here's the difference. I wanted to love it, and I did love it. I look past the flaws, whereas you seem to focus on the flaws. Now, I am not saying this game was without fault.
No.
Absolutely not. I would be absolutely asininely retarded to do so. There we go. All right. We're loosening up.
Any better. It's
we're
not
loosening
any better.
Up, though. It's we're not loosening. Any we're good. We're good. We're good. So, the number one complaint with this game is the biggest complaint that you just leveled, which is the shocking shift in tone from Lunafreya's death to Gladio telling you to fucking get over it. And also, somehow in that point, what's his face is fucking blind now. It's not. What is
it? It's
his
Ignis.
Ignis is blind.
That was another thing.
Yeah.
And doesn't Gladiolus also disappear at some point and then comes back with like a bunch of scars and he's like, I'm not going to talk about it? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, cool. Well, sell me that DLC later,
exactly.
You fucks.
I bought that DLC.
Ugh.
But don't
is it
get
worth it?
I don't know. I haven't played it. It just came out. I haven't got a chance to play it. Came out today, dating this episode. All right. So I totally agree with you. Even I, uber fucking fanboy, jacking off to this game constantly, came upon the scene and was like, what the fuck is this?
Where the hell are we going here?
What is happening? That was the number one complaint with this game. Apparently, it is fixed or resolved with this newest DLC, which is bullshit.
Yeah.
Ship me a fucking completed game. Don't give me this fucking ham-fistedness. But also, this game was in development hell for a long time.
Sure.
You got to get it out. I get that, too.
I agree.
I think the big tonal confusing shift happened before that, and it happened in the city.
Did.
Where you attempt to obtain the Leviathan summon. That whole thing seemed so completely out of left field to me.
The base busting or whatever.
Well, just the base. And like the fact that like you go to this beautiful city and they set it up and you talk with this governor who looks like Hillary Clinton. And then all of a sudden like, oh, we're destroying this entire place to make sure that you get the Leviathan summon who is resisting you for reasons.
Is okay. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I forgot about that. Well, all right. So it's not the tonal shift. Sure. Like that's one thing, but I feel like the game just doesn't have deep characters or knows how to show any kind of relationship with them. Like the only time Noctis and Luna Freya are ever seen together is like one time in a flashback where like he's injured or something. And there's like, there's no love. There's no, there's like maybe the start of a friendship, maybe, maybe just slightly. But other than that, like it's through like this dog sending you text back and forth, essentially. Yeah. There's no emotional buildup. There's nothing given to us that lets us like go back to Cloud and Eris and Eris's death. And you have like this whole like really complicated or involved like triangle between Tifa, Cloud, and Eris, and like you see Eris as the flower shop girl and like all this, and you get like backstory. You fucking go with her parents. Like, you can see why Cloud would love or fall in love with this person. There is none of that there with her. And I would flat out argue, other than just like casual remarks made in battle, I don't think there's any reason why these four people would hang out, because they're kind of at each other's throats this entire time. Like, Ignis just seems like he's there because of blind loyalty. He's the butler of the group. Like, mm-hmm. There's no real reason. Like, I don't see any friendship. It's just like, for some reason, he feels obligated. Gladiolus, I guess, is his bodyguard, which, like, are the Kingsguard, right? Like,
they all three they are part of the Kingsguard. Yep. And so, they've like, been with him there, since birth.
He's there for, I don't know. I just don't get the friendship thing. Like, there's sometimes it comes right. through with Prompto the most. Prompto is probably the most friendly I see.
I like that you're going off on this, because I took all of this completely opposite, and I really liked the camaraderie that these four guys really seem to share of being stranded and alone. They couldn't return back to their home that they'd known, and there is this bit of, all right, so Gladio is kind of like almost the big brother, and he really takes on a teasing role. He he kind of makes fun of and talks shit to all of the other characters, because he's the big burly guy who was that. Ignis is he's just basically the butler, but he's also the more refined of the characters. He's trying to bring not chaste, but like a sense of like dignity and maybe a restraint to a lot of the encounters, especially at the beginning. He's like, you know, he's voice of reason. That's what I'm trying to say here. He's almost representing the voice of reason here. Whereas Prompto is almost like the innocent, dumb idiot friend who's just kind of along for the ride. And he's the lovable oaf almost. Like,
yeah, I mean, those are broad archetypes that you can make for anything. And that's exactly
what those characters represent.
They're just archetypes. Yes. Like, they're not real characters. They don't feel real in a way that, like, I think Final Fantasy VII and some of the earlier ones did. I feel like this is a very reductive look at characters, and it's kind of shocking that in fucking 2016, we have an RPG game where the characters are so fucking basic. I would argue they might be the most basic characters of any RPG game for like the last few years, at least for this generation. Like, they've been largely outclassed by a lot of other RPGs, and it just, God, they're so thin. They're so thinly written. Like you said, like, yeah, this one's proper and very uptight, and that's it. Like, that's all he's given to work with. He doesn't have this moment of redemption or like this moment where he gets to cut loose. Like, there's some of that in the dialogue while you're fighting that is a little bit more open, but like, if you took just the story and the cinemas, like, it's all bland. It's all very bland.
See, I would, and now I'm going to disagree and interject again, that he doesn't, all right, so we're talking about Ignis here.
Yes, specifically Ignis was the example.
Again, it's very ham-fisted, but that change does come about. And that change happens after he becomes blinded. And so I want to...
What was the change? He's dignified but blind now.
No, it's not that he's dignified. He's actually very helpless. And that dungeon that you have to do with him being blind, there's a lot of like little flavor text that's happening throughout. Like, every time you get in a fight, and then at the end of a fight in that section, you know, Ignis is like, he apologizes. He's like, I'm sorry. Was I in the way? I'm very sorry. And everybody's like, no, it's okay, man. We get it. Like,
yeah.
And I think that, again, it's kind of overshadowed because, again, at that time, Gladio is just being an overbearing dick to you, which is fucking stupid.
It's weird.
Yes.
And it's weird.
Dude, here, we're going to agree nowhere. Here. Yes. again,
it
I don't
feels
know.
Like conflict for the sake of conflict.
I don't know. There, that's what that's, I'll give what you. Is. I don't know if it so much comes from nowhere, but it's like, hey,
we need
let's make things
right
great
now.
Here. So that's what is happening. Yeah. But though, I really feel for Ignis when he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Was I in the way there? And then you kind of feel everybody's like, no, bro, it's okay. Yeah. Don't worry about
a little
it.
Bit.
We get it. I really like that whole section.
I will give this game, too, that they do a lot with the idle conversations.
Yes.
And I think that's very impressive. It's mm-hmm. It's something you do see like in a few other games. Like I know The Witcher does it. BioWare does it. In some of their more recent games, I don't know about Mass Effect Andromeda. We won't talk about that.
Wink.
But they did it really well here. They did it very, very well. And I think if anybody does like or responds to these characters, it's because of that. Like, yeah. I think you take that away, and it's dire.
So here's and this is just a funny side story tangent. One of the things that I fell in love with, Prompto loves chocobos in this game.
Yes.
That's very adamant from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Once you get the ability to ride chocobos, of course, the familiar Final Fantasy chocobo music is played. What I love too, like, I am fully capable and ready to admit that this game plays up on its fan service. It is overflowing with fan service. It's probably a big reason why I like it. I admit it.
Yeah.
Not going to deny it.
Mm-hmm.
It's playing to me and knows that it wants to hit me as a fan.
Yeah.
And it does. What I like, and this is hilarious because former guest of the show, Casey, who was on our Half-Baked episode.
Oh, yeah.
We would sing a very similar song about chocobos. Because at one point, Prompto has a throwaway dialogue where he's like, I want to ride a chocobo all day. And it's just, I instantly connected with that because I have sang a similar song many times just overhearing this chocobo theme and various themes throughout the Final Fantasy lifetime.
Yeah.
So it was just a nice, I instantly identified with that.
Yeah.
Another one that when I was streaming this game, you picked up on was when after a battle, Prompto again just kind of sings the
victory music.
The victory music, which doesn't happen all the time. It kind of just gets thrown in. I really like that. It's a nice little dumb flavor text because that doesn't happen. You don't have that victory fanfare, but occasionally Prompto's going to throw it in. And he throws that in for people like me that are like, oh, fucking A, there's that victory music.
I agree with that. Like, I think that's all done very, very well. I think they do deserve compliments for that. I just think that's like some of their best character moments.
Yes.
Are through those. So then why do I want to watch a 15-minute cutscene where it's very stilted, ham-fisted dialogue that again just feels like it's from two generations ago? Like, this game,
it's almost like a Dragon Ball Z fan fiction.
That's a good way of putting it. I can see that.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that.
I've thought that a couple of times. And again, fine with it.
Yeah, I know. I want more from the story because it's not even just like, well, these other games do it, so why can't Final Fantasy? I feel like Final Fantasy games have done it better in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, I do like, I'll take this stripped down nothing narrative over Final Fantasy 13.
That's what I was just about to say.
Over complicated.
While there are Final Fantasies that have done
mess.
It better,
yes.
There are Final Fantasies that have done it way worse.
I do
too.
Agree with that. I
way
do.
Worse. Mm-hmm. And I can deal with that. So,
yeah.
And again, I'm one of the few people in this world that enjoyed 13 for what it was. I know.
No. You,
and here's another one we're going to go around, and that's fine. I promise you, we are never going to talk about Final Fantasy 13 on this podcast.
Yeah. We might
for
do like
episode.
One of the other ones. Like, I still yet to play Lightning Returns.
I would love to do one.
And that
of
seems
those
interesting
too.
To me.
Yeah, or the other one.
I did the second one, Final Fantasy 13 too.
Yeah, with Sarah and
Sarah.
Cannot think of his fucking name. Here's a cool fact, and I again,
is it, it's not Hope, is it?
No, not Hope. Hope is in the game.
It's the other. It's another boy.
Yeah, who's from the future?
Yeah.
Like the main bad guy. From
I can't remember anything
Lightning
about that
Returns.
Game.
I know.
But it was less offensive to me.
I do remember
enjoying it more.
Is that almost better than anybody? Square is really good at getting me to give up them DLC bucks. Because
really?
I don't know why, dog.
I've never paid for... I am so quick to buy DLC for a game because I've got that obsession completion. Like, I need all of the game. I've never, ever bought DLC for a Square game. Fuck them.
I have the N7 Mass Effect armors in Final Fantasy 13 too. Because, of course, why the fuck wouldn't I? It's fucking awesome.
Sure.
I totally have those.
So,
and a couple other costumes.
All right. We've been back and forth in this narrative characters. You can kind of see where we stand now. Let's switch it to something that I think maybe we both are universally positive on. And let's talk about the battle system. Because I think the battle system is real draw here. Like, I love the battle system. I think the warp strike and warping to is an interesting mechanic that becomes kind of useless. Like, it's good to get out of the battle, but it's also needless. Like, you could just have like a block button or something and like problem solved. You don't, it's like an extra flourish just because we can. It's not necessarily good or serves to make the battle system any better. It's just there because we can do this now. That said, I do like how quick the system is. I think it's surprisingly deep for what it is. And if this is the way that Kingdom Hearts 3 goes, I'm very interested.
Okay. This is funny because we're going to switch sides here.
Oh my God, are you serious?
A little bit.
How the fuck do we get so opposite on this game?
Let me ask you one question, and I think this will answer a lot.
Yes.
If you can remember, what's your final playtime of Final Fantasy 15?
It was high 40s or low 50s.
All right, buddy.
Because I quit playing the... I quit the side quests because they're so uninteresting. There's no reason I want to increase my fishing level for Noctis. I'm not going to do that shit. I'm not going to do these monster quests that are... Just go to the spot, kill a monster, done. Like, Witcher does that, but in smart ways.
They're
go
cooler.
Here, you have to lure totally, in a different way.
Totally give you that they're way cooler and way more impactful in Witcher 3. That said, my final count as of now on Final Fantasy 15.
I think I know where you're going with this.
I have not done any new DLC. They have raised the level cap to 120. I'm still at level 99 with all characters. I am currently sitting at 168 hours on Final Fantasy 15.
That just hurts my butthole.
I'm a little more involved in this combat than you.
Oh, sure.
The combat is good, but I would have preferred, I think, still a menu system. Now
I do too, depending on if it's an active time or turn based. I like the turn based.
This
more.
Is my one big worry with the new Final Fantasy VII remake, but I am a little more intrigued.
God. Are you kidding? You're still gonna fucking love it.
Of course. Well, like, I mean, anybody even listening to this knows I'm gonna get it.
You're gonna be
but
all up on it.
Here's what's crazy cool and different that they're making with Final Fantasy VII is that the fact that you can actually switch between all the characters at any given time.
Yeah.
So say that you need to do a ranged attack, you can switch to Barret and use the gun arm and attack ranged. Whereas in this game, you're not going to get that. I will also give you, after a point, the warp to regain MP is complete. It's null.
It's
completely
dumb.
You don't do it.
Yeah.
You're going to fucking eat an elixir. I was swimming in elixirs and mega elixirs by the end of this game.
Yep.
I've worked through the dungeons and the hard
really
levels of these dungeons.
Not hard to just dodge around.
Not, and especially if you level up the right way.
Yeah.
It gives you shit back for doing it the right way. It's not hard. It is kind of fun.
It's fun. I think you're absolutely right. Cause like even towards the end of my late 40, early 50s hours in, it kind of felt like, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to use Gladiolus's power attack here. Then I'm going to use Ignis to give my weapon fire. And then that's it.
So here's another
thing. Rinse, repeat over and over.
I'm glad
again.
You brought up again. So all of the other characters have a special move or a special attack formation or something of that nature you can enter into.
I mean, maybe would you call it like a limit break or something? It's
not
even like that.
I don't know if
I
call it a limit break because they each get their own. You get your... Excuse me, own individual limit breaks too. I don't know how I would really classify it because they also have the opportunity to come up a lot more frequently than Limit Break because you have three levels of this energy bar, and each character can have a move that either occupies the first, second, or third individually. So, again, much like every good Final Fantasy, that system can be completely broken. I think Promptos is probably the most broken, where, again, because I played the fuck out of this game, he has a game where, or his one where he can shoot enemies. Yeah. You can totally... So this game has a... again,
he was the one I ended up using the least in my playtime.
His is easily the most overpowered. And it's similar... So this game has a system similar to Final Fantasy 13 where you can break things. Mm-hmm. You can break enemies' limbs and such of that nature.
Oh, man.
Promptos, once fully maxed out, does that...
God, about the Final Fantasy 13 system, and thinking back, I hate it. I just hate it.
It's a game That's in right. itself. It's all admitted. I hate it.
Yeah.
Again, yeah, I don't... For real, I think Final Fantasy 15 was a game made more for people like me, less for people like you.
All right, if by people like you, do you mean anybody who isn't jerking off over Final Fantasy, then yes. Because I think I think just any person, because this game explicitly says, like at the start of every load up, a game for Final Fantasy fans and beginners alike, horseshit, fucking false, wrong. It is a game that only Final Fantasy fans will like because they forgive all the problems because there are problems there. We didn't even get into the goddamn fast travel system in the car. They're the worst parts of this game. Yeah. And like it catches me, and this is what it is with Final Fantasy 15. I'm like, oh man, that's really cool that they let me listen to all these soundtracks while I'm in the car. Why am I in the car to begin with at all? Why do I have to sit in a car for upwards to 10 minutes at a time travel to a place? It is stupid. It is fucking stupid, and it is not of this generation. Like, if you're on the PS4 and you don't know how to do fast travel, you're fucking doing it wrong, and you need to reevaluate how you make games.
I should have been able to fast travel between every campsite at will.
God damn, am I right?
They're magical, mystical fucking hot points. Why the fuck can I not fast travel through them?
Agreed.
It's because they want to hype this fucking car, which, by the way, is sexy as hell.
Damn it, no, it's not.
I think it's sexy, not. The fucking regalia. But anyways... I'm agreeing with you here.
I know, but like, don't put it like it's okay because the car is really sexy.
I'm not saying
fuck
it's okay.
That. Like,
I do like that car.
You designed
though.
A nice car. Yeah, like, we don't have to fucking see it for 2/3 of my goddamn playtime.
I will, and there's been a lot of fucking times where I thought that I was going to fast travel to a thing, but instead they were driving, and I immediately was like, nope. Pull the fuck over, because we're going to start this again in fast travel, because I'm not sitting here for 15 minutes while you drive across the fucking map, assholes.
Yeah. Yeah, this game ended up becoming like a chore simulator, because I'd fucking like, well, I want to drive here. Oh, estimated time 7 minutes? Let me go fucking do dishes while I wait. Like, this game is not a game at fucking times. And all right, let's talk about this gigantic fucking world that this game thinks it needs. It's so big and fucking open and empty, and everything kind of looks the same. Like, looking back
especially
at this game,
once you get into that middle meteor impact
it's
site.
Just like a blur of forest. Like, this game is just the same over and over and over again. It feels like the ending scene of Logan. Just woods, cheap fucking woods with no real signs of interest. And like, even the towns and like special sites you go to, they're not remarkable. They're just like rundown shacks. And let's even talk about like the copy and paste fucking secondary characters in this game. Like, I'm going to see like the same four different types of characters over and over again. Like, you go to a city and there are only three types of people out, but there's 90 people, but there's only three different types. And then what the fuck is even their clothing? Like, it's from different times. You have like a boy dressed out of like the old Oliver, like, please, so I may have some more. And then you have like this weird techno G-string overall shit on some of the people. It's just so anachronistic. And then you talk to a guy that's just fucking Hurley from Lost.
There is Hurley in Lost. Anybody who plays this game and doesn't see that
you
as Hurley,
yeah.
Of course, everybody knows it.
And then the most blatant bad product placement in a video game with the ramen cup of noodles.
Cup of noodles?
There is a quest devoted to cup of noodles in this fucking game.
Yeah.
It's things like this that just seem like Square doesn't have any touch of reality, and they just think this game is so much more important than it actually is. It frustrates me. Because I remember starting this game, and I was like, I texted you. I was like, Kyle, like, I'm 2 hours in. I love this game.
Yeah,
I got that.
I was very excited. I thought this episode
Florence
was
and the Machine.
Totally different than
I know.
What it was.
I got that Florence and the Machine Stand By Me cover. Like,
great
this
intro.
Really cool, interesting new battle system. Like, the world was my oyster. And it just turns out this game is like a 10-hour game that's been stretched out into 40, 50-plus hours.
I will give you that it's a 30-hour game, maybe 20-hour, 25, stretched into
maybe.
A 50-hour
maybe.
Game. Because once you get to the Leviathan part, and especially before the end city when you return to Noctis' hometown,
yeah,
there's a whole lot of fluff.
Yeah.
Again,
and
I'm not, dude, understand the flaws of this game.
Yeah.
So take that into what I'm saying. But I really like this game. I love at the end. Like, all right, so let's talk about these grand summons for a bit.
Okay.
So there are six total in the game. Mm-hmm. There's really seven, but one doesn't work for you. And the one that doesn't work for you is Ifrit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's the big villain.
Yes, he's one of the final bosses that we fight. But we have Remu, mm-hmm. Who's a fan favorite and long time. Leviathan, of course. Shiva. Bahamut.
You fight Quetzalcoatl, but it's not a summon at one point, no. Even though it was a summon in previous games.
And a couple of them. But again, I just remember, so there was I think it's a story mission where you're with Hywin. So
who's the giant old man?
That's Remu.
That's Remu.
And that's
what's
the one
he from?
He's been in almost every Final Fantasy.
He was in 7?
Yeah. He was
who
in
was
7.
Who was he in 7? His name was Ramu? Summon.
Yeah. Ramuh. He's been in almost every Final Fantasy.
He did not leave any kind of impression on me. I was always, oh, cool, old giant old man.
He's always a bald old man with a giant beard he's generally lightning-based.
Huh.
He's not in 10. I don't believe he's in 8.
No, in 10 you get those insect sisters instead.
Well, you get the Maga sisters, but the electrical one in 10 is the unicorn.
Oh, yeah.
It's not Quetzalcoatl. It is an I name, and I cannot think of it.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Even though I'm playing through 10 right now.
Isn't that the same in 8 as well, or is 8, did they go back to Quetzalcoatl? I felt like that horse stuck around for a little bit.
I don't remember the horse.
Like they were trying to make the horse a thing.
Quetzalcoatl's wind because he flies, I think. But Quetzalcoatl is an 8. You're right.
Yeah.
But I do believe he's still wind-based.
Okay. Okay.
Anyways.
So summons, you're going on a track
I was talking
the summons
about summons, and I was going to bring up something you had said earlier. Now I've lost that train of thought as well. So you were talking about the chick with the phallic unicorn dick on her head.
Yes, the assassin.
Yes, who I cannot remember her first name.
You said
it doesn't matter.
Some kind of
Hywind. Her last name is Hywind, which is of course another Final Fantasy reference.
Which is weird because don't they have Cid and Cindy?
Well, but Cid is only Hywind. He's only Cid Hywind in 7, and you get the Hywind. The Hywind is a reference to usually a powerful attack or an airship.
Yeah.
In the Final Fantasy universe.
Sure, sure.
So, but in this one, you were concerned or upset because suddenly she's your friend and doesn't want to fight you, even though you fight her.
Well, no. I know she's an assassin and she is paid. I'm saying there's literally nothing ever brought up in the fact that she tried to attack and kill these people.
Yes.
Like, she just shows up again and nobody acknowledges what had happened before.
But they do.
No. When?
At that point, because, all right, so you meet her when you're going into the dungeon that is only open at night.
In the swamp. Yeah. I know all about this.
She makes reference to it a couple of points that, like, he told me not to attack you. We're working for you right now, because she makes the point that she's a mercenary too. So she was only attacking you. And I know you're rolling
that's
your eyes and you're
very,
thinking,
very flimsy.
But I remember this because I was like, oh, so that's why she's not attacking me right now.
I know why she's not attacking me. The fact that nobody said anything.
They do talk
or just
about
like
it
kind
too.
Of openly trust her right away. Like,
they're like,
why is
they
it,
do.
Why is
Again,
there no.
It's in that throwaway dialogue and they're kind of like, huh, that's weird. I remember when we just fought this one.
I never heard that dialogue.
I remember it.
And that's the thing. If you have like this weird context-sensitive dialogue that happens in between that happens at random times. So, like, I never fucking heard that. So there's no reference to this. So it's just like, I guess we're just fucking all cool now. We're all peachy. Nobody's going to even remark that, like, this woman just tried to kill us. Like, well, literally
they,
10 minutes ago
they talk
in the story.
About, they're like, man, I don't know if we can trust her. What do you, like, can we trust her? Like, I mean, and then eventually it's like, well, I guess we have no choice. We have to go in here. Because at the end of the day, they're chasing down these six... guardian protectors, so
and all the weapons that go into him, mm-hmm. all the ghost weapons,
the royal arms.
There you go. Good
so,
job.
There's 13 of them.
Oh, whatever that means. why aren't there 15?
I love this. I know, right? I know. Why the fuck are there not 15? And why are they not? Why is not each number a reference to each one? Why is it 7 a giant goddamn fucking sword? Totally.
Right.
Yeah. Then
fucking easy done.
That's fan service. Jerk me off. I'm fucking done.
That could be. That really could be. And yeah. I think that would be done.
But anyways.
That's a nice thing.
So there's that. I just wanted to bring up that point briefly. But I wanted to get back to the summons, these giant gods that are eventually. Oh, it's Titan. Titan is the other one we didn't mention.
Yeah,
the
first
big one.
That you
go to. Mm-hmm. So they initially, of course, resist Noctis, who is a prince but is trying to become king. Mm-hmm. But as king, he has this royal power over them.
Yeah.
And so he has to win their favor. But I really like the way summons look in this game more than anything.
Yeah. And I got you. Yeah.
The power of them is really shown more than in any other Final Fantasy because, there's that mission where you're infiltrating the base with the Highwind chick, and mm-hmm. at the end you're kind of getting your ass kicked, and it tells you to summon Remu, mm-hmm. and you do, and that's really the first time I had summoned anybody, and holy,
it's
fuck,
impressive,
man, it is badass as shit when that dude comes in, and he just wipes everything out. And
also explained very poorly how to summon him. Like, yeah. I had to go online to figure out how to summon
hold
him. You gotta hold it.
It's
for
not tap.
Several seconds.
It's not tap.
But like the prompt they give you, it's not clear.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. Yeah. Totally give you that. Totally give you that.
There were a few of those moments, but
when it happens,
it is impressive.
All of them are equally mm-hmm. as fucking impressive. It's
yeah.
really, really cool. And this we're gonna skip around to jump to the end. When you fight Ifrit, before you fight Ifrit, you have gone into like some, I'm going to call it a coma with Bahamut for like a decade.
You just disappear, right? And
yeah.
then you reappear and you're...
But you've like been talking with Bahamut about
yeah.
how things need to happen for like a decade. Again,
yeah.
it's one of those things that's not really explained, much like the...
nothing's explained
the jump from
story.
The city where you get Leviathan to mm-hmm. the train. It's sort of like... Oh, hey, 10 years has passed. Surprise. Wake up.
Yeah.
And now you have this pretty cool looking beard.
I think it was a pretty cool narrative device. And I like the shift in how the world is after 10 years. But I think it was handled perfectly. Or what? No. God damn it. You're fucking A-OK to you. Mess up. No. It was handled so sloppy.
So sloppy. But I did like it. Again, and there could have been a lot more done. So
yes.
you come out of the coma, and the person that eventually picks you up at the beach resort, which is in a state of permanent dark as the world is this kid who you've interacted with a handful of times throughout the game.
Was it the guy whose grandpa died?
Yes, correct.
Saddy McSad kid.
Again, yeah.
Fucking forgettable character. That means nothing when his
totally
grandfather dies.
Totally forgettable. Not disagreeing with you
yeah.
at all here. Could have had a lot more weight.
That's
when
it.
He shows up
yeah.
and you're like, holy shit, it's that dude. That could have been a big moment. But instead it's like, oh, is that that dude?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a different play. But again, I just want to, you know, Square Enix is like, man, I fucking love that Noctis character design 10 years later with that beard and the gray coming in. God damn it. That's fucking cool. Give us more of that shit, but give us reasons for that shit.
Yes. Yeah. It's a great idea. It's maybe poor execution.
Oh my God. It looks so fucking good though.
Yeah. It's a really, and everybody too, except I was really disappointed that Gladiola showed up and he's still like having the open shirt chest. And it's like, you're 10 years fucking older. You're still doing this. Like, come on, show him grown up, like fucking putting clothes on, like
give
a
him
real
some
person.
Gray. What's cool is I like that. At that point, everybody gets their Kingsguard outfit with the capes and the cloaks.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are so fucking cool looking.
Yeah.
I don't even care. Like, super lame boy anime fanboy style. They look so fucking cool. I made everybody else wear them. It's, yeah. I really like where this game goes towards the ending. So you go and you fight Ifrit. Again, it's like, it's like 20 hours of okayness, and then you get this weird like 10 hours of what the fuck is happeningness, and then you get like a 5 to 10-ish hour wrap-up where things kind of come at you fast. And this dude that, of course, you never trusted and has led you everywhere is, of course, can you believe it, untrustworthy.
It's not even just that he's untrustworthy, but like he speaks to you like a fucking untrustworthy character. Like, it's like the people who are directing the voiceovers were just like, try to sound as sneaky and backstabby as you can. And this guy fucking did it. And then like, oh, big surprise when he turns several times on you over and over again.
Make these people think you're going to fuck them over. Oh, you fucked him over, dude?
Yeah.
I can't believe you did that.
It's absurd. And then it's even more transparent if you've seen the Kingsglaive anime, which they pretty much show you his true colors in that one and his involvement in all of it. It's just, it's disappointing. It's so disappointing. It's not bad. It's not, I think there are legitimately bad things in it, but as a whole, the game is not bad. It is fine to good and a better step than Final Fantasy 13 was a whole. Like it's I support you going forward this way. Now next time focus on your story a little bit more. There's no reason a Final Fantasy game should have a story this barren. Like it's shocking how little story is in this Final Fantasy game. You can do better. You've done better. Now I need to see that going forward. And maybe doing 7 over again is the way that they're going to do that. But
7 over again is being handled by the guy that did 15 and the Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
What is curious to me is that unlike most times in history, we don't have any information about any future Final Fantasies from this point. We don't know anything about Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah,
we've not heard any rumors, any releases. I'm curious to see what the next one is going to be.
What would you want out of a Final Fantasy 16, out of a successor? Do you want, like, what would you change going forward from 15? Would you change anything?
Yeah.
Would you try to keep the same kind of system, but new characters, new world, same world, different characters? Like, what would you do?
I don't think it's going to be same world. And I wouldn't want same world. It stands on its own, which is weird again, considering it's in the Final Fantasy 13 universe somehow. It still is connected.
This one is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Rudimentary. To be honest, again, we talked about it at the beginning. I would like to see 16 take a more grounded level and make a return to Ivalice again. I think Ivalice is a very rich universe that can be mined for a lot of cool things. There's a lot of great conflicts between the races in that game that I think, from what I understand of 12, are explored pretty in depth. But I would like to see that. I would also like to see something completely new. Again,
tactics game, Final Fantasy Tactics 3.
Dude, you give me Tactics 3, I'm on board. I've loved every Tactics game,
right? But it's like it's all about interdimensional timeline shifting, so you can recruit any character from any of the Final Fantasy games in the last 30 years.
So two things. That happens in Final Fantasy Tactics, the original. You can get Cloud via that.
No, I'm talking about all of them, son.
I know.
All.
But also that
you
also
can be Queena.
It's kind of referential to Final Fantasy 13 Lightning Returns because that game is all about time travel and you travel to different points of time in the same areas.
That's fine. Make this a Final Fantasy Tactics game set in the 13 universe where it starts with just Lightning and then she breaks the world or something and then has to recruit all these other timelines to help her write the timelines. And these people that help her are
Believe the villain of 13-2 and 13 Lightning Returns is, I think his name is Kayum.
That sounds right.
I believe he is loosely supposed to be referentially based on Noctis, which when Versus 13 was originally tied fully into the 13 universe, that's what he was going to be. And there are references and key points to that.
It'd be interesting if they followed through.
I don't think that I like that they finally broke away and gave 13 versus 13 a number and made it 15.
I don't know why they tried so hard with 13. I think it's because the system was done and they didn't have to put more work.
Yeah. Of money into it.
I mean, I'd argue that 13 looks just as good as 15. Like, if you put 13 and 15 on a computer that runs like the same resolution, but like none of the extra shadows, extra textures, I think 13 looks just as good.
Having done my platinum on 13 roughly around the same time I got my platinum on 15, I think 15 is a lot better.
Did you play both on the PC?
I played 13 on my PS3 and 15 on my PlayStation 4 Pro.
So you play them both on PC, set to maximum resolution, but you keep all the lighting and the shit the same?
Maybe.
I think 13 looks just as good.
What I hate about 13 is that no matter where you go, you've always got those fucking crystals on the screen. And people who have played a lot of 13 will know what I'm talking about.
I don't remember this.
Oh my god, it's the fucking most annoying thing.
Okay.
In the overall ethos of things, Ryan, would you recommend 15?
No.
You wouldn't?
No, because the only people who haven't played are people who are not head over heels in Final Fantasy love. You don't need to play it. It's not great compared to what we have out there now. Go play Witcher. Go play Dragon Age Inquisition.
I love how up on the Witcher 3's dick you have become since you started playing.
You know, it's hard to look at any other role-playing game the same way after Witcher 3.
I need
3.
To really dive into it more. Again, unfortunately, Nier Automata came out. God damn it. I cannot wait for you to play that game, dog.
The first Nier is a better game than Final Fantasy 15.
All right. So now you just want to make me happy because I probably won't argue with you there.
Right? That's just what it is. It's Nier, just disappointing because Final Fantasy
is so much fucking good.
Final Fantasy used to be the benchmark. Of RPGs, it's like there's Final Fantasy and then everything else.
I still think that applies.
And I don't think that's there anymore.
Is a better RPG? All right, sorry. Let me classify. What is a better JRPG?
Nier. I just said Nier.
Nier's an
Lost
action RPG.
Lost Odyssey is better than Final Fantasy 15.
God damn it. I totally disagree with you so hard.
Dragon Quest. Dragon Quest games are even better now. I'd argue the Tales of games are even better.
I hated
Final Fantasy is worse than all of those now.
Tales 1 and 2 are really fun. I hate everything after that.
Oh,
God, I hated Lost Odyssey so much.
It's because you didn't put in time.
Dude, I put in a shit ton of time.
Nah, because you got connected to those characters, man. That game has made me cry.
I'm not
going to
get
so
connected
good.
To those characters by watching a fucking text-based flashback.
It's not a text-based flashback. It's just, what? It's not a flashback. It's stories of his encounters as an immortal.
Yeah.
And some of those are the most deeply moving things in video games. But even if you ignore that, the character of Jansen alone is better than anything else
God.
In any other JRPG.
Jansen is the best. Jansen is the fucking worst character ever made.
That's the fucking twist.
Oh, my
you
God.
You fucking play that game through the end, and you are surprised by how moved you are by Jansen in his finale. And Sarah and her father, you're fucking wrong, dog.
Dog.
You're wrong.
Look at me. Are you going to make me play Lost Odyssey?
I'm not going to make you play it because who makes somebody do it? But I'm saying
I made you play 15.
You played it.
In, me, dog.
No, I wanted to play 15. I went out and bought 15 because I wanted a Final Fantasy game.
All right. All right. You
Lost Odyssey's better.
You twisted my arm.
Lost Odyssey's
Lost
better.
All right.
You're not going to like it. Here's the thing. Here's
no,
the thing.
No.
We're not
going to
play it because you're not going to like it better.
Check it out.
You're
going to
love Final Fantasy.
I can totally. It's weird. I will go in unbiased.
There's no way.
I'm going to play Lost Odyssey.
I don't think you should.
I still own it.
I don't think you should.
I'm going to play it. I'm going to do it.
Mm. It's Xbox One compatible.
Oh, that's
still
even
playing
better.
Xbox One to get the bumped up resolution.
Okay. All right, dog. I'm going to do it.
I mean, if you want to. I'm not making you do it.
Because
you just asked what's a better game.
No, because I'm gonna burn
Lost
through
Odyssey's
Zelda 1 really quick.
And had Nobuo Uematsu doing one of his best soundtracks.
And the fucking creator of Final Fantasies. He left and made that.
Yeah.
And you did Blue Dragon, which I also own.
I didn't play it, Blue Dragon. I have it too, but I've just never got around to it.
Nobuo Uematsu did the soundtrack to that too.
I'm sure it's fantastic.
Yeah. But anyways, what's weird? I love Nobuo Uematsu, and I'm fucking drunk, so I'm not going to remember. I love the guy that does the Nier soundtrack so much more.
Oh, I've never known his name.
Oh my God, dude, they're so good. I want you to play Automata so fucking much. I want to do an episode on Automata.
I feel like I'm going to have nothing bad to say about it.
Oh, dog. Dog, it's so good.
I know.
Oh,
I want to play it.
And like, take everything that you hated about Nier, turn them around and bump them up to 10. God damn it.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't hate anything in Nier. I thought like
except
some of
the combat?
Animations and combat were clunky.
Yeah.
Not bad, though.
So take those, fucking turn them around, amp them up to 10. And then take everything else that you love, bump it up to like an 8. Oh my God, dog.
Why are you bumping up to 8?
The fucking amazingness and weirdness of the story.
Why would you only bump
because
it up
somewhere?
Because they're
already at a 10. They're not
so you're bumping it down 8?
No, but they're not going to double up to a 20. They're going to be like from a 10 to an 18.
We're getting in numbers here.
Yeah.
We're getting numbers. This is going off the rails. So,
Booze.
Kyle,
we're
going
to end.
Would you recommend Final Fantasy 15?
Absolutely. If you've played Final Fantasy, you know what you're getting into.
You think
you've,
there are people out here
no,
who have not already played it?
Absolutely.
So
not.
This person who has not played the game, would you recommend playing Final Fantasy?
15?
Yeah.
No. No,
there
I would
go.
Not.
There you go.
If you have not played a Final Fantasy, do not start with 15.
Which one would you recommend they start with?
Again, me? I'm going to say 7. I started with 7.
Yeah.
And I've grown to appreciate all the other Final Fantasies from 7. I think 7 is the keynote.
Even going back now, like starting anew, you could go back and it's okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. I played 7 through last year and did everything.
I agree with this. I think it's the one to play if you want.
Yes. It is the most welcoming. I was going to say friendly. That's why I held on that long F for a while. It is the most welcoming. It is the most modern, I would say, because it goes into that sci-fi aspect.
Say 8 has a little bit of that too.
Yeah, it does. I'm not saying it
or
13 it
or not 13 10
and that's why
and 13 yeah 13 is a little modern.
Here's the weird hard split from Final Fantasy fans. You have the old fantasy fans and
the
sci-fi
nines.
Fantasy
yeah.
fans. So you have the nines, the 1 through 6s. Although 6 gets a little more sci-fi
steam
with the Magitek armors
yeah.
and things like that. I really like the sci-fi Final Fantasies more.
Me too.
Which
is why I skipped 9 originally.
Yes, me too. And that's why I've had a big hate boner for 9 for a while. Even though I've played like 10 to 15 hours of it. Whew. Yeah.
Ooh.
All right. So again, we're going to end here, but I'm going to give you this warning on air so you know it. There is a point in Final Fantasy IX where you can reach an unreturnable point. So it's about 25% of the way through where you get sent to a trial area where they don't warn you that magic is ineffective and you can't change characters. And
do you have to pick your characters going into it?
Yes.
And oof.
Dagger is your white mage healing character, and Vivi is your black mage damage character.
So they're just out pretty much.
But if you go into it with those two characters, you are almost literally completely fucked. And you cannot change, and you cannot go back, and you have to restart over. And that happened to me, and that is...
Just now in your most recent playthrough?
No, well, not just now, but in my most recent playthrough of, like, 6 years ago.
Okay, okay.
So that's why I have had a hardcore anti-Final Fantasy IX stance for a while.
In 8, you can do that, too. In 8, there's a way you can get to a point where you just can't win if you didn't do things correctly.
I don't remember that. I just remember breaking 8 down so bad because 8 is one of the most breakable Final Fantasies in history.
Interesting.
With the draw system, dog, you can break the fuck out of 8 so easily.
Yeah.
So, all right. So I also don't recommend 15 to newcomers. I recommend it to people who have played Final Fantasy. And if you're listening to this, you've probably already fucking played it.
Yeah.
So this was a wasted throwaway episode, but thanks for listening.
It's the second worst Final Fantasy game I played after Final Fantasy X-2.
You think X-2 is the worst?
No, that's not true. It's 13.
Okay, so
13's 13 is the bottom. Then X-2, then 15.
God damn it, that makes me feel so bad. That makes me feel so bad. Yeah. You know what I hate? And I'm playing it right
9.
Now. No. Final Fantasy X, man. I think it gets
really?
Yeah, it gets a lot of unjustified love.
Nah, that's Sphere
Grid.
I love
Sphere Grid. Oh, my God.
Sphere Grid's good. Let's end this shit, but you're wrong.
We are going to end this shit.
Character. And Waka, you got Joe DiMaggio. All
right. So, all right. I'm not going to argue that, but we're going to...
Lulu's hot.
We're
gonna, like that.
We're ending.
Whatever that is. All those belts.
I'm challenging you. Those belts are the same character designer from fucking Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy 15 and 13 and all the Final Fantasies you love. I'm stopping here, but I'm challenging you. Play 10 again and tell me it's fucking good.
I played 10 again like 3 years ago.
I'm playing it right now. It's not good.
I played it 3 years ago and it's just fine. It's just fine.
Did you max everybody's sphere grid?
No, because I don't have to play a game and get everybody to 100%. That's how you don't enjoy games, Kyle.
This is the difference between you and my experiences on Final Fantasies because, goddammit, I gotta do it.
No, you don't. Just stop it. Just don't do it.
I gotta do it, dog. Got to do it. Anyways.
We got to end this episode.
We do? Thank you all for real for fucking listening.
You shouldn't. We're not good.
Ryan is
or
our...
Or insightful.
Ryan is our most vocal critic.
We are the worst.
I'm our most vocal cheerleader. I don't think they're in our cookie cutter ending segment, which we probably need to re-record. But for now, I will tell you, you should probably give us money on Patreon.
I mean, you shouldn't.
No, you should.
But you can.
You should give us a dollar.
That's paying a lot.
And a dollar gets you access to all these great DrunkCast episodes, which this butt episode sucks. Is really on the cusp of
It's
being,
on the cusp, yeah.
It is on the cusp of a DrunkCast.
I think it might be more of a DrunkCast than our last DrunkCast episode. Where you and I were both like... Really pretty okay for like 2 o'clock in the morning when we did it.
Really, I honestly only think that if you go back and listen, it's because we had been drunk for like fucking 36 hours.
We just got used to it.
That's really what happened in that episode.
I think so.
It was a drunk cast for sure. I've listened to it.
Oh, it's bad?
Oh, it's a drunk cast.
Oh man, it sounded good to me when I was doing it.
But it is a drunk cast. And that's just because we had been at 36 hours of fucking hardcore alcohol. Intake. So.
Go figure that.
No, but for real, join us on Patreon. Join us on our website. Join us on Twitter, on Facebook. We have a fucking Instagram now, which is brand new. We try to be really relevant. We try to post constantly. We really like fan feedback. We like talking to you guys about things that we talk about. So please feel free to engage us. I mean... I know I don't, but
and thank you for being respectful too.
Yeah,
nobody's been a dick about it yet.
I know I'm pretty chill, and I know Ryan sounds like a real entitled asshole.
Oh,
that's a total call.
Am I entitled to get a fucking story from a game that boasts about story?
No, for real. I love Ryan to death. I fucking love doing this show every fucking week. You guys. Even if you didn't listen, we would do this for like 2 people. I don't care. It's fun. But the fact
that you guys... The gauntlet's been thrown down.
The fact that you guys really
all
actually
all of you
do,
leave but two.
For some reason enjoy this is amazing. Thank you guys so much. I cannot thank you enough. But please, really just continue to engage us. We love talking to you about stupid, meaningless bullshit that doesn't matter to anybody but us in this really limited circle. So,
I feel like Final Fantasy 15 was like a rape. Like, you don't want to talk about it negatively, so you just like brush over the details. Like, yeah, it was good.
I was a little drunk, but not too drunk.
If you're brave and you had issues with Final Fantasy 15, speak up, because nobody else is speaking up about this.
Giant fanboy, I will not hate on you. I totally get it, man.
I had people say this was the best Final Fantasy game they've played ever.
Those people are tarded.
They are tarded. Yeah.
It's not offensive.
I'm obviously not done talking about this, but I need to do butt stuff.
Please, please go home. Talk to your wife. Say, baby, I want you to put that finger in my butt. And then be like, girl, we going to do butt stuff.
Or husband.
Check it out.
Go
this
home,
is
talk
a callback.
To your husband.
Butt stuff forever.
Butt stuff. Bumper a boy forever. And girl.
Thank you guys forever. For real. We are out. This is the Experience Grind. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
And go do butt stuff.
Hi, this is Ryan, and if you liked what you just saw or listened to, please check us out at experiencegrind.com. Find us on facebook.com/experiencegrind, at Twitter, over at twitter.com/expgrindpodcast, where Kyle's tweeting out a lot of stuff all the time. And then you can always find us, our podcast, on iTunes, Stitcher, Twitch, or even on YouTube. Find us, just search Experience Grind Podcast. We don't have a channel yet. Stuff super easy to find. But please subscribe. We'll get there to you, make it even easier. And as always, if you like what you saw, we cover mini games and episodes every week. There's sure to be something you love. And as always, grind out.